second.
And I thought, wouldn't it be funny if you had one less chair and we played musical chairs? And nobody would be, the guy who missed wasn't allowed to do the interview.
I got to do that.
Right.
I would be the guy that missed.
Really? No, you'd be all right.
I'm not very spry.
No, no, but you're fast.
I was wondering, how can people learn between the dynamics between Batman?
Wait a minute. How can people learn?
Learn, sorry. About the dynamics between
the dynamic
between the friendship between Harvey Dent and Bruce Wayne and Batman versus Two-Face.
How can they learn?
Yeah,
they learn the act of forgiveness when somebody kills people that you're fond of. You have to be a Quaker. I don't know. If I take your question seriously, there's a lot of philosophies that say the act of forgiveness is for the person forgiving is much more beneficial than to carry a revenge or hate in your heart. For me, I carry revenge. It's very difficult to forgive a really bad hurt that somebody has done deliberately to you. Very difficult to do that. It's the essence of goodness, and perhaps I'm not totally good.
What did you have to fundamentally understand about the Harvey Dent character to play this role?
Well, it's a cartoon. But if you take the question seriously, there are many voices in our psyche. My mind keeps going back to the guy in Las Vegas, and mild-mannered guy apparently, and never got a parking ticket, and what was he thinking? What was he doing? What was going on in his head as he was spraying those bullets around? This mild-mannered guy is. What are the voices? It obviously so totally sick. Words. I'm trying to find a word that would apply to that kind of illness, where it's so devoid of humanity, Ubuntu, that it's incomprehensible. So what's going on in his head, where in the Times today, the guy's coming out of ISIS saying, "Oh, I never beheaded anybody." There are these people who beheaded people. How do you do that? What are those voices saying? And that's, if you take the question seriously, that's what's going on in this ill person, the struggle between good and evil.
There was a basis for most of the other characters in these cartoons. You had kind of a freedom to kind of create the voice for him. What was that like?
Well, I took the cliche approach. It's easy. You can take an easy approach to anything, and that sounds, oh, good, I'll do this. But if you gave it a lot of thought, you might come around to not doing, oh, listen, that's a bad guy, and there's a good guy. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the good guy has a polyp on his larynx, and he's got that voice, and the bad guy is saying, hey, how are you? I'm going to kill you now. I mean, you could do a whole reverse. But it's so nonconformist that it might not work in a cartoon.
Were there any interesting vocal techniques you did to get that Two-Face voice? One of the things that struck me when I watched the clip was it really doesn't sound like you. You know, it's very, it's like almost like you ate a lot of yogurt or something. It's very guttural.
Yeah, vanilla, a lot of vanilla yogurt. Greek yogurt was the. No, it's just I'm there with as an actor. Doing my thing.
Do you enjoy playing villains?
That's a question a lot of. I don't know whether you really mean it, because the because the villain is the same guy as the hero, except he pulls the trigger and the hero doesn't. You know. So playing a villain should be the same as playing. Again, cliche. I'm a villain.
Yeah.
That's the way it was. He twirled the mustache, and you knew he was the villain, and I'm the hero. That's the way it was in the 1900s. But we know that that isn't really the case. And in ultimate reality, when you're trying for the essential reality, who knows what you're thinking right now? I'm going to kill that guy. He's not a correct answer.
It's not what I'm thinking. No.
But out of a nice reporter may lurk the animal. And the animal is disguised as a beautiful tiger with great stripes and great whiskers. And what a beautiful pet.
You, Weston Ward, are icons in your own rights. What was it like working with them on the video?
One icon as against another icon?
Yes.
You know how you move the mouse? I just kept moving him around. Little Bert, move over there, Bert. You're an icon over there. And smile, because you've got a smiling icon. I don't even know what the word icon means. What does that mean?
Well, we hold all of you in high esteem, especially in this realm of
only
sci-fi.
Only while you're here in this white tablecloth.
No, even after we go home.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so you hold me in high esteem. Does that mean I'm an icon? I don't know what icon is. I don't know the definition of icon. But I can tell you from my point of view, I don't know how an icon walks, let alone talks.
Who would you consider to be an icon? How do you define,
how do I define
an iconic person?
Well, so you range into how you define an icon. An icon, I guess the meaning of the word would be out of the Greek
yogurt.
You're not allowed to be funnier than me. Exactly. I'm thinking of the voices that came out of the shell. The
sirens?
Not the sirens, but they would go to
oracles.
Perfect. The Greek oracle. So an icon must have come out of there, right? A Greek oracle. So they had pronouncements to make, and people would take that as the word. Oh, there's going to be rain, and they would leave saying there's going to be rain. That's what I think is an icon. So the pronouncement by some individual, we are going to have a war, or the world has come to an end. That's iconic. Other than that, it's stupid.
Okay, well, let's redirect the question then. What was it
challenging. Yes.
What was it like working with Adam West and Bert Ward on this video?
I never saw them.
You never saw them?
No. The nature of doing these kind of movies is that you're locked in a booth about the size of the table. You got a microphone and a script. And the only person who knows what's going on is the guy who's writing and directing and drawing this stuff. So the word that you have to read is hello. But is it hello to somebody over there? Or is it hello to you? Or is it, do I like this guy I'm saying hello to? Or do I not like this guy? How am I going to say this hello? So the producer, director, writer says, you don't like this guy and you're some distance away, but you're running in that direction. And do it 7 times in 7 different ways, because I'm not sure. And that's the way it works on these animated films. Nobody's quite sure what the final picture will look like.
Have you met them before?
Them being whom?
Adam West and Bert Ward.
Well, I'm a nodding acquaintance to Bert. A little more familiar with Adam over the years. A lovely, lovely gentleman, humorous, sophisticated. I was always attracted. To wanting to talk to him and be in his presence for a while. He was lovely. He was amusing, you know. He was very sophisticated, really. Seemed like from Connecticut or something. Or he was always dressed, you know, conservatively.
You're no stranger, obviously, to genre and sci-fi and fantasy.
Right.
This world that we're in right now.
I'm deeply involved in comics,
yeah.
As we speak.
Even at this point in your career, like, do you ever still get butterflies? Be like, oh, I'm going to be working with Batman, or I'm going to be working with Adam.
Well, not butterflies like that, but I'm about to go into a movie where I'm in a movie. I'm that I wrote the story for. They bought the script that I had made, and they've rewritten. So I've got 5 days of continuous dialogue, and I'm learning it. It's a real. I have to drill myself. I've got it here. I drill every day the 5 pages, and on a film, the camera's there, and on a film that doesn't have a lot of time, you got to get it right now because you make 3 mistakes. I'm sorry. We'll fix it in the editing room. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a challenge. So I don't have butterflies, but I'm like looking forward to seeing if I can meet the challenge. Just learning 5 pages of dialogue alone is a feat.
What's it been like for you to see stuff that started a long time ago and really started some of the genre pieces of Star Trek and Batman, and it comes back around and it just stays in the pop culture and just kind of feeds everything?
Well, of course, while we were doing Star Trek, the series I was on was 3 years, and middling success. And finally, it was about to be canceled every year for one reason or another. Each year it wasn't canceled until the end of the 3rd year when it was. And to all intents and purposes, that was the end of it. That was the end of that gig, and we're on to other things. And then it metastasized like cancer.
T.J. Hooker was only on for 3 seasons?
No. that was 5 years, actually. But that was something else. So, yeah. Who knew?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Michael Jelinek, producer.